We'll see.
Pay him very highly.
Yes.
Yes. And I think you're an import too, aren't you? You're an import also, aren't you, sir?
Sure I am.
We're very, very fortunate that we have Dave and his technical advisors. You were technical advisor tonight, Gary, also, right? You were here too, huh? That's right. Well, I'll tell you, these are tiny little things, but they certainly have me helpless. I have to call on these big, strong men to help me. No, I swear, this is a tiny... Look at how little that thing is. I can't figure it out. This Michael's tricks. Yeah. So anyhow, yes, and everybody knows Barbara, and everybody loves Barbara, and I don't even need to say a word about her, because everybody already loves her, and she's full of wonderful, good thoughts for us all, and it's our Barbara Christian.
Thank you. Got to figure out the magic lamp again. Here we go. Okay. Merry Christmas. Almost Happy New Year. You know, a lot of purists like to talk about how, you know, Christ wasn't really born in December, that, you know, we move the birth of Christ to December to line up with the solstice and everything. But I don't think they're so important, because there was some reason why eventually over time this time of year was chosen to celebrate his birth. And I think it was meant to be that we also celebrate New Year's exactly 1 week after Christmas. I think both are aligned so closely to give us a reminder that it's time for a little soul searching and a little renewal, as well as celebrating the birth of Christ. Time for us to celebrate our own rebirth starting the new year. So this is a New Year's talk. Aren't you lucky? But instead of some of the, you know, classic, let's make our list of resolutions, like me, I'm going to go on a diet again and all that stuff that we all, you know, kind of have in the back of our mind that we should or could have and will do after next Sunday. there's still a little more chocolate in my kitchen with my name on it, but after that, please, nobody give me any more. I know you love me, but not with chocolate. Okay, so what I want to kind of do is give us all some questions to reflect on as we approach this new year, and kind of a new variation on resolutions, if you will. And the first question I'm going to throw out, and you feel free to answer it if you want, or I'm just going to throw in some thoughts and then we can get a little dialogue going. But, you know, as you look at the new year, what could you do to increase your enjoyment, to increase your connection to God and your spiritual family? I was talking to my two gals here, her best friends for many years, who, you know, haven't been to church quite as frequently in the last few months. And, you know, we were talking before the service tonight how, you know, being here really gives us energy. And it's the love that comes from our spiritual family. It's not from the pews. It's not from the light fixtures. It's from all of us gathered sharing our energy and sharing both our sadnesses and concerns, like Mimi and her wonderful husband Bill, but also sharing our joys. And if we come regularly, more regularly, we might find that it really will make our coming year much better. So that's just one suggestion. Maybe if you haven't taken a class at Millie's before, you would want to consider that for the new year. They don't start again until October, but that might be something you want to consider. Or maybe it's breaking out the Bible or some other inspirational welcome or some other inspirational book that somebody's told you about and you've had sitting on a bookshelf for years and you never really meant, you always meant to read it but you never found the time. Maybe this year will be the time that you'll do that. Next question. What's the most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this coming year? Maybe there's somebody you've needed to forgive for a long, long time. And it's been weighing on both of you for months or years or whatever. And you know what? It's time to perhaps let that go. Or maybe there's a parent that you haven't spent enough time with and you're starting to feel a little guilty about it. And you know it's sometimes a pain to spend time with them because they don't really understand you. They never have. But you know what? They're not going to be around forever. So maybe this next year is the year to just make a little commitment to doing that. What's the biggest time waster in your life? TV? Being hypnotized by the internet? I spent Christmas weekend with a teenage boy, and I rarely saw his face. He had this little machine in his lap, you know, and hello, Alex, you know. What are the things that take us away from connecting with real-life people? What are the machines that are filling our head with stuff that really isn't going to help us live loving, engaged lives? What are the things that waste your time? What can you let go of in this coming year? What's a helpful way you could really help strengthen our spiritual family? And it's not just about putting money in the offering, but, you know, what could you do from setting out the songbooks to picking them up after the service? Or what comes to mind for me is that, you don't really know this, but I'm really shy. So when I see new faces out there, I want to get to know you, but I feel really shy sometimes about walking up and saying, hi, my name is Barbara. And I think some of you are the same way. But I think if we all made a commitment once in a while to just start breaking the ice and sticking out a hand or a tambourine, you know, it'll get easier. So, and that helps build our spiritual family. That helps us fall in love with each other. And gosh, that's so important. I found this community about 15 years ago. My mom died at Christmas, 1990. And a few months later, I wandered in here on a Wednesday night, and Millie was dressed in a green dress. It was St. Patrick's and time, and she said, hi, I'm Millie, and she took my hand, and she was blowing up green balloons, helps me remember, and she said, will you help me blow up green balloons? And I said, sure. And just by taking part, I instantly felt welcomed by her, and I felt like I had something to contribute. And all of you have something to contribute, whether it's this church or another church. There are so many ways we can foster the growth of loving spiritual families. What's the one thing you could do to improve your prayers, your connection with God in the coming year? And I think when a lot of us think of prayer, we think of asking God for help or asking for our prayer projects with people we love. And certainly God is there to listen to those prayers. But there's also the prayers of thanks. I did a healing meditation at the Sunday church about a month ago, and it was pointed out to me in a song from a Broadway show that there's 525,600 minutes in 1 year. And it turns out this year on New Year's Eve, they're actually going to add 1 second to the calendar. I don't know if but those people that do the official clock things were getting a second. But anyway, out of those 525,600 minutes, if you took 1 minute a day to give thanks to God, you'd still have 525,300 minutes left to do everything else that you need to do in your life. So, you know, maybe you're setting your alarm clock for 5 minutes earlier just to talk to God in the morning, or maybe making a commitment at night, or maybe on your lunch break, or maybe while you're driving in the car and there isn't a good song on the radio. Turn the radio off and use that as your talking to God time. What's the most important decision you might have to make in the coming year? For some of us, it might be letting go of a relationship that's not healthy. For some of us, it might be looking for a new job. There, you know, everybody has a really important decision, and this is an opportunity to clarify it and at the same time realize reaching out for God and the angels' help will make it so much easier to get through that decision. to take action. This question is, what's the most important need you feel burdened to meet this year? And for me, I have a father with Alzheimer's who's 3,000 miles away. And I realized as I was reading this question, that does feel like a burden, but more importantly, I need to change the thinking of my father as a burden. I need to change that word burden to my father and his challenge is still a loving opportunity for me to connect with this man, to image God, even when we get to the point where he doesn't know me. You know, so whatever your burdens are, there's still important lessons in them. There's still important opportunities for us to grow and to find this place in our heart that can rise above some kind of level that we didn't even know was possible. But I think we need to first look at what we perceive as burdens and embrace them in a new way. I came up with a lot of questions before this, but I'm not going to do all of them. There's one here about what's the most important thing you could do to foster spirituality with members of your family? And I got to bump right into that one on Christmas morning. Some of you were at the Christmas party here 2 weeks ago. I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. And on Sunday morning, we were in San Francisco going to the grandfather's church, a Catholic church, with Mass. And Sophia, who's almost 4, said, how come everybody else is getting a piece of candy from the priest and I'm not? Well, first I had to explain to her it wasn't really candy he was handing out, but to her eyes it looked like candy. And, you know, we had already had the discussion of, you know, we're celebrating the baby Jesus, and she saw the manger, but of course she didn't see a real baby. So I realized there's a lot of explaining to do, whether it's children or adults who don't quite have the spiritual beliefs that we do. Sophia made me laugh a little bit later on when she met the priest and he put his hand on her head and said, bless you. And we were walking away and she said, why did he say that? I didn't sneeze. You know, it's like, okay, you get into these patterns and what do these words really mean? So we got into a discussion that the priest was really finding a way to say, I wish you love. I wish, and she knows what love is because she loves me. It makes that loud and clear. But even beyond that, she had to understand how could this person who didn't even know her be wanting to give her a wish of love. And so, you know, that's lots of discussions with little ones and even lots of discussions with the adults in our life who just somehow get off the path where they feel disconnected from God. And sometimes that's us. And sometimes we need to get back to those basic truth that saying bless you after a sneeze comes back to caring for somebody and saying, I'm acknowledging your presence. Yes, you sneezed to get my attention, but I love you. As you look at this year that's ending, if you have any regrets, maybe you can make a commitment to leaving those regrets right here in 2005. Don't need to carry them into the next year. Certainly, God and His angels are there to help you with anything that comes up, but things like regrets don't need to be packed up in a little red wagon and hauled on in. It's time to let them go, I would think. What areas of your life do you most need to change, and what are you going to do to make it happen in this coming year? First of all, you don't need to do it all by yourself. God and the angels are there. But secondly, I want to share a quote with you from Mohandas Gandhi, and he said, you must be the change you want to see in the world. In other words, if we want peace in the world, we have to create that change of peace within us and start actualizing it in our sphere right here. We can't ask everybody else to change and not be willing to take those steps forward within ourselves, even though those steps can be really scary and really hard at times. What else do I want to throw at you? That's about it. Again, I have lots of questions, and I do have a couple extra copies that I'll put in the back of some of these questions and more that might get you thinking about how you want to approach 2006. You know, you can do it with a champagne and then wake up the next morning and not be sure what you even were thinking or who you kissed. Or you can go into it bright-eyed with, you know, a conviction that you're going to take some positive steps and let go of all regrets. Because, as we know, there really aren't mistakes. We're growing. We're God's children. He loves us dearly. And I'm so grateful to all of you for being here. Thank you so much.
It's all baby, huh?